Many employees are turning to religious exemptions as vaccine mandates become more common in workplaces. Exemptions are federally protected under the Civil Rights Act of 1964. But what is the history of these exemptions, and what are the consequences? Indiana Public Broadcasting's Lauren Chapman reports.
Imam Ahmed Al-Amin frequently speaks to his Indianapolis mosque about getting vaccinated. For him, it's just as much about faith as it is personal. He had COVID-19 in April 2020.
My experience with malaria was horrible, but COVID was worse. I never thought every day that passed by or night, I would just assume that would be my last day or night.
A handful of vaccines, some MMR, shingles, and nasal flu vaccines, use pig technology, specifically porcine gelatin, as a stabilizer. That goes against religious dietary restrictions for some Jews and Muslims, which are a common reason for religious vaccine exemptions. None of the COVID-19 vaccines available in the U.S. use porcine gelatin. Al-Amin says he doesn't support Muslims using religious exemptions for mandates. With more people pushing for broader exemptions, he says all faith traditions should encourage vaccines.
We have to use the faith to save people's lives. We should not use faith to destruct humanity, to cause harm to humanity. If you don't want to take vaccine, that's your choice. But please do not use faith as a weapon.
There's a long history of protecting religious expression in the U.S. Religious exemptions are federally protected in the Civil Rights Act of 1964. Rigel Oliveri, law professor at the University of Missouri, says these protections include reasonable accommodations for sincerely held religious beliefs.
The courts are very reluctant to intrude too deeply on what a person's sincerely held religious beliefs are. So it doesn't have to be something that comes from a mainstream faith tradition. It can be a much more personalized belief system. What we really wouldn't want is courts sort of deciding what counts as religion and what doesn't.
And so courts have given wide berth to religious beliefs, with a few caveats. Title VII says employers do not need to make accommodations that create an undue burden. That's where Oliveri says the limitations lie for religious exemptions for the COVID-19 vaccines.
But what's very clear is that the religious exemption is not a giant loophole you can just walk through.
And there's a reason for that. Exemptions can have real consequences. Dr. Saad Omer is director of the Yale Institute for Global Health and an epidemiologist. He says with any non-medical exemption, it requires a Goldilocks approach. If exemptions are too hard to obtain, Omer says research shows people will find other ways to navigate around mandates.
And if they are freely available, we know that they tend to cluster. And they can contribute to, we have shown for against multiple diseases now, that they can impact the local epidemiology of disease and can be associated with outbreaks.
Those clusters have consequences for unvaccinated and vaccinated members of a community. In a good year, flu vaccines hit about 40% efficacy. The mRNA COVID-19 vaccines boasted about a 90% efficacy, but no vaccine is 100%.
So that increases everyone's risk. And so there are consequences for folks.
Throughout the pandemic, Imam Ahmed Al-Amin invited health experts to talk to his mosque about social distancing and vaccines. In fact, he calls efforts to get people vaccinated a jihad.
When people hear the term jihad, the only thing they know about is the extreme violence. But jihad simply means a struggle and resistance. And this is our jihad. It's our resistance against an enemy for humanity, a virus that claimed the life of hundreds of thousands around the world.
For Indiana Public Broadcasting, I'm Lauren Chapman.